Bruce Boudreau is the board head coach of the Anaheim Ducks as they wait for the winner of the San Jose Los Angeles Kings series this evening. Gabby, thanks for being aboard. How are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm good, thanks.
Pleasure to have you. So I'm guessing tonight you're rooting for not a specific team, but multiple periods of overtime, true or false?
Yeah, six would be a good number.
going back to the Dallas series, I mean, that we just talked about the San Jose Sharks, you know, getting the scare of a lifetime against the Los Angeles Kings. You know, at how many different points did the Dallas Stars really scare your squad, Bruce?
I think they scared us right from the beginning. I think when we were looking at it, they were the one team that we really didn't want to play in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, we had a tough time with them during the regular season, and we knew how hard they worked and how good a skating team they were. So, I mean, we were a little hoping that they wouldn't be the ones making it in, but they did, and we got lucky, and we're moving on.
Bruce, at one time, did you look down the bench and look for John Garrett to throw in net? Come on, Bruce. You say yes, yes.
No, no. I believe John Garrett was not on my mind in any one of those games.
Well, you did have some goaltending problems, and Frederik Andersen down the stretch. I watched Jonas Hiller play, and I could understand why you went with Frederik Andersen, because Jonas did struggle in the last 10 games. But I thought the Jamie Benn goal in Dallas, when you had that 2-0 lead, that one really bothered me. And I thought, oh, man, here's a goaltender playing in his first playoff series.
Yeah, you know what? And I was at more after the game, that one and the next one, I thought were very soft goals. But his history in the 25 or 27 games that he played for us is he could give up a couple goals, but then he'd always shut the door. So that's why I kept him in a little longer than I would normally. Usually the third goal is my limit if I don't feel the goalie's playing well. But he gained that kind of confidence, and quite frankly, Hilly, like you said, John, just didn't get it done in the last 10 games. But what made me think of going to Hilly in the final couple games was that he practiced extremely hard to try to get out of his little funk that he was in, and he worked really hard in practice, stayed out late, did all the things. So I knew he really wanted to get back in the net. And when he got back in, he was very good.
Yeah, Bruce, the final game last year when Chicago scored those two quick goals against Boston, it's almost like I had to rewind to see exactly what had happened. And that was kind of the same with that two-goal lead Dallas had in the last couple of minutes. And you mentioned you took a page from what Patrick Waugh did in pulling the goaltender early, but from the bench, what did you see in those final couple of minutes that changed it?
Well, I mean, I thought our power play the previous couple of games and that game were going pretty good. And when Cogliano got a two-minute minor, coincidental minor, we figured we could pull the goalie now and still have the power play without them having the luxury of icing the puck. But once Bonino scored, and I think everybody on the bench said, we're going to do it. This is going to happen. And you could see a complete shift in the thought process on the bench and on the ice. And we were attacking the last minute and a half, I thought, really well. And, I mean, Smith Pelly, for a young guy, had tremendous patience on the goal. Most of us would have just started whacking at that loose puck, but he waited, pulled it aside, and once he scored, I thought there was a really good chance that we'd win in overtime, because I thought Lettinen was shaky at that point.
Bruce, Corey Perry is certainly a galvanizing and at times controversial player. Not that you faced off against him too much when you coached the Washington Capitals, but previous to taking over the job in Anaheim, what was your assessment and your thoughts on Corey Perry?
Well, I didn't know that he could be as physical as he was. My thoughts were he had a great release, a great shot. I saw him when he was young and played in Portland for a little bit, and he was dominating. I didn't realize how big he was. You know, I mean, at 6'3", I mean, he's lanky, but the one thing about Corey Perry is he goes to all those dirty places that people don't want to go. He takes the hips and the back and the shoulders and the arms, because he's one of those guys that loves to score. And he's as competitive as all get out. I mean, he wants to win every game, everything he does. So these are things that you don't know when you're just coaching against a guy. All you see is a really good player. But those are the things you learn once you have him on your side.
Bruce, the fact that you were a good offensive player, and I played against you in practice all those times, and I never let you score, but it was your history as a coach. You've always brought out the best in the offensive players. Is there any different strategy that you use, or is it just one of those things that you give them free rein?
Well, I don't even know if I give them free rein. I just think it's positive reinforcement of what they do. I think, if anything, that I'm pretty good at building up players and making them believe that they can do things, and you know, that's it. I mean, the free rein is you can, as long as the puck gets deep, and we've got a third man high, you pretty well got, you can do what you want. But you know, that's pretty structured. There's not much else. We don't want guys skating east west, and you know, we want them taking chances in the offensive zone and doing what they do, shoot pucks, but it's not like helter-skelter out there. But I do think I give them confidence in their abilities.
Yeah, Bruce, years ago we talked about, once in Washington, a boatload of players came on trade deadline day. So it was a lot of decisions about who sat in the press box, who assumed different roles, and it was probably a bit of a negative. And I'm curious, the depth you have, but two veteran players like Solani and Koivu not getting the minutes they're used to. I guess Solani's son assigned you to Norfolk or whatever after one game, whatever it may be, in a tweet. How do you handle that balance about two guys that still have degrees of excellence, want to play all the time, but can't play all the time?
Well, I think it's just not that it's happened all of a sudden. It's been all year. So, I mean, the minutes of, you know, I mean, I think Timu averaged 14 and Sacco averaged a little bit more, but I mean, if it was they were averaging 18 and then all of a sudden they were averaging 11, then that might be some concern on their part. But I think we have all fallen in after 82 games and plus and six is our roles, and they know, you know, I mean, where they're slotted. I mean, Sacco's always been used to, in the past, being on the power play. Now he's more as a defensive player, and he doesn't get a chance that often on the power play. And at the beginning of the year, it was a little more contentious, but he knows his role now, and he accepts it, and he does a great job as the guy coming after the power play.
Not exactly breaking news here, but Ryan Getzlaff is an excellent hockey player. And I'm curious, if you go back in your history, Bruce, not just as a coach, but as a player as well, have you ever shared the ice, coached a team with anyone much like this, that has a skill set that Ryan Getzlaff does?
You know, maybe Daryl Sittler. And I mean, in a different era, Ryan's bigger than Daryl, but Daryl was the same type of leader on and off the ice. He was a tough player. He could fight, he could score, he could kill penalties, and he had a very good hockey IQ. Ryan's the exact same way, only, you know, 225 pounds and bigger and stronger. And when he gets his mindset, when Ryan, with us this year or in the last 2 years, when Ryan Getzlaff is playing his best hockey, we win. And he's definitely the straw that stirs the drink for us.
Yeah, you know, one thing we were talking about earlier, I know you'll be watching all the games tonight because that's what you do and everybody's doing. Thinking Game 7, how much is the home ice an advantage in Game 7? How much is it a relatively neutral game? From all your years playing and coaching, what by and large have been the factors in a Game 7 victory?
Well, I've lost a couple home ice Game 7s, so I don't think the advantage is that great. I think the first goal is more important than home ice, and both teams are going to be focused. Whatever's happened before doesn't matter. Game 7 is a total different entity. That's why it's going to be so exciting watching all the games. Being on the West Coast, you get to see the early games and the late games, so it's going to be fun tonight.
Should be a good one, 3 Game 7s. Bruce, I know you have a lot of things to take care of today. Thanks for spending part of your day with us today.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime, and take care.